Richard Carville spoke to students at Nettleton and Jonesboro schools Friday, telling about his service to America. Carville graduated from Arkansas State University in 1966 with a degree in radio journalism and was going through a graduate school at the University of Illinois during the height of the Vietnam War. Carville put his studies on hold when he was drafted to serve the military. Carville entered the United States Air Force Training School. A graduate of the school in 1967, Carville was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Air Force and eventually served as a precision photographic services officer. When he arrived in Saigon in South Vietnam in 1970, Carville was assigned to the 12th Reconnaissance Intelligence Technical Squadron and was placed in charge of the squad's processing photo lab. And Carville tells what he used.
All of the stuff that I use today that were my photographs, now I got some from other places, but the ones that were my photographs, I shot on 35 millimeter film. I bought my first 35 millimeter camera in the BX at Tonsonet Air Base in Saigon. It was an Asahi Pentax, and the United States version was Honeywell Pentax. But it was a 35 millimeter, and I had all kinds of great lenses and whatnot. And so that's how I kind of got into the photography end of it. And of course, I had a processing lab there. Go shoot a roll of 35 millimeter, take it back, give it to your NCOIC, and say, "Process this for me, Sarge, would you please?" Mm-hmm. And, you know, he'd process it, and I'd cut the film up and mount it in slides, and still have all those slides.
Carville was in Vietnam from 1970 to 1971. Carville took many photographs as part of his job. Some of those that he took included the pictures of troops he served with that were involved in making positive impacts in the lives of the children and families that lived in Saigon. Carville explains.
Well, anytime I talk about my service in Vietnam, I try to emphasize the Civic Action Project that we undertook at Sanctuary de Fumé, the orphanage, and helping the kids and getting our folks who live back home to send packages and that sort of thing. And that's why it was such a pleasure to meet Ross Lewis last June in Chattanooga, Tennessee at our annual Vietnam reunion. Ross went all over the United States and created a book which he self-published that told the non-war story of the war. It told the story of the warriors and what they did in their downtime. And I don't think there's a single war, you know, what you'd call a war picture in that book. And I have a copy of it, and he's autographed it for me and all that kind of stuff. But his purpose in doing that was just to say, look, there was another side to the service men and women who served in Vietnam. They weren't all baby killers. They weren't all crazed, mad, you know, whatevers, you know.
Carville volunteered to be the squadron's civic action officer, which would be used in participating in various improvement projects in the region.
You know, we had some grandiose plans. I had one colleague who wanted to dig a well, who wanted to drill a well so they would have a constant water supply, because the municipal water in Saigon was very uneven. Sometimes they'd just turn it off. And that's why they had to collect all the rainwater and put it in those big urns that you saw in that picture, because they had to have backup water. Well, one of my fellow officers said, "Hey, let's drill a well." Well, we never got that well drilled, you know, and I don't know that we could have done that had we undertaken it. But boy, we sure sent them a lot of first aid equipment and school supplies, and we even had a few wool sweaters sent over to us, which were not much use in the tropics, but but the gift was, you know, was nice.
Carville says while he was over in Vietnam, several people he served with had families like he did. Carville had a 3-year-old son at the time and missed his second child being born. Carville says back then, shortwave radios were used to help him making calls to home. Carville says when it was time for the soldiers to come home, Vietnam veterans were treated more like villains than heroes.
I have friends who were spat upon when they came back. I didn't have that experience. I was fortunate. But I know people who, when they landed at Travis Air Force Base, before they would go get on the plane at San Francisco Airport, they changed to civilian clothes because they didn't want anybody to know they were coming home from Vietnam because of the stigma that was attached back during that time and the way they were treated. There was a different side. And listen, I had some guys at that squadron at Tonsonet Air Base who just loved those kids. They would do anything for them. And some of them, you know, like my maintenance guy and my supply chief, they were involved in fixing things. They were good at fixing things. But then there were young airmen who didn't have any money to at all for themselves. And you know what they did for those kids? They hugged them. They picked them up, and they'd love them, and they'd squeeze them, and they'd play games with them. And that was their giving back to those kids whose lives had been torn apart.
Carville says the purpose of his message is that all veterans of all wars deserve to be welcomed home, despite any unpopularity of conflicts that America is involved in. He says that's become the main goal of Vietnam veterans.
Vietnam veterans have made a promise to themselves and to everybody who served after us, and that is a promise that we will not let our current soldiers be treated like we were. That's why when our military comes home, you know, wherever they land in the United States, there's usually a line of Vietnam veterans there and other veterans as well, but particularly Vietnam veterans who line the corridor and who welcome them home and who thank them for their service. And it took a long time for Vietnam veterans to get that kind of acknowledgement from much of the American population. There may be opposition to the war in Afghanistan, which has been going on a long time. It's the war, and it's not the warriors. They are simply doing what their country is asking them to do.
When Carville returned home, he finished his master's degree. He was news director of KASU in 1971 and then became station manager. He would then become an instructor and a chair of the Department of Radio Television at Arkansas State in 1988, and he retired from ASU in 2008 and is now volunteering in many different organizations in Jonesboro, as well as several veterans organizations. He also was a part of the Take a Vet to School Day that was presented by the History Channel and Suddenlink on Friday. For KASU News, I'm Jonathan Reeves reporting.